Sports Cage on Demand is brought to you by the Canadian Brewhouse, with the best food and drink specials and the most TVs for your favorite sports.
So that was a fun, fun day. Nick Dembski's first CFL touchdown. Hopefully, here's to many more. Welcome to the Sports Cage, everybody. Thanks for hanging in today. Welcome to Saskatoon, another beautiful day. We are at Griffith Stadium Press Box, where maybe it's Groundhog's Day. Luke Mullender, every day broadcasting from the same location, but dang, is it enjoyable. It still is. And another gorgeous day here as we're into week two of Riders Training Camp presented by Coors Light.
Absolutely gorgeous day. Although we've got somebody who thinks this is the beach. Oh. No shirt, no sandals, no
what
service,
sir.
What
the heck? I'm going to put that on my Snapchat, folks.
But the worst part is there's nothing even to watch right now. Like, nothing's out here except the sprinklers, and we got a guy.
And his gal.
And his girl. Well, maybe that's, maybe they're just having a heart-to-heart. Maybe they're like, look, it's not working out. We need to go our separate ways. I'm really hot on Tinder right now. I've just got so many options.
I'm going to put that on my Snapchat right now, Peterson Media. It's the middle of the day. There's nobody here at Griffiths. Maybe they showed up. Maybe they got their radios in on their heads.
Yeah.
And they're going to listen to us.
Maybe.
And if that case, they picked the best place to be because it's hot and sunny here in Saskatoon.
Maybe they're devising a scheme to cheat on their next test. It's a good place for it. It's a very undercover location.
So, Luke, the big story of the day, of course, is Vince Young. And here's the best part of today, folks, as far as day 10 of Rider training camp goes. I watched from the sidelines. Luke watched from up here in the press box. We didn't have any contact at all until now.
Yeah.
So we can convene with our thoughts, put them together. And what did you see from Vince Young leaving practice this morning?
I saw a very unfortunate event. It had nothing to do with Vince Young. I just found it funny that the amount of guys that have gone down here and there during training camp, Caleb Holly, Richard Newsom, there's been tons of guys who have been in S.A. Rabure. These guys have gotten dinged up. All these reporters that are sitting on the sideline, not going to tweet that. Vince Young, every single one of them jumped on it and tweeted it. Why? Treat everybody the same. We talked about him wanting to be treated the same as everybody else yesterday, but it's a Nick. I hope zero's wrong with Vince Young. And it's a hamstring. Guys get hamstring pulls and things like that during camp, right? So to make it It just was unfortunate in my eyes that every reporter decides to jump on that one injury when there's been a plethora of them all throughout camp, including today. So it's just, you know, the scales, it doesn't match up.
I wonder if it's a case of the tail wagging the dog or what. But if I just went to the TSN app, and I know you have some thoughts on TSN that we'll get to today. But
five channels, not one of them. I'm with Nick Lewis. Not one of them's playing the exhibition game today.
Nick Lewis.
We talk about wanting to expand this game, expand the CFL brand. We have a front office in the CFL that wants to continue to engage an audience. We also have BC that wants to engage more fans, specifically in the lower part of the province, things like that, in Seattle. Why isn't this game on TV with five channels? Zero basketball going on today. Zero hockey going on today. Zero excuse for TSN to not have this on here. If I go home and I go back to the hotel and I just click on one and something darts is on or something like that.
Which it will be.
Yeah, we got a problem. Come on, man. You got to do better than that. I don't care if you're the broadcast rights holder. You got to do better than that. You have a responsibility to the fans and the brand development. If you are the rights holder, to actually put it out there. It's not good enough to say, well, we give them all this money. Too bad. We can do what we want. That's lazy, and it's irresponsible if you're really into the Canadian Football League game.
BC Lions are at Calgary tonight. And, yeah, it's preseason game one, so you're not seeing the stars per se, which does not matter. I'm a big fan of preseason football. But it's the two top teams in the West Division going at it at McMahon Stadium at 7. And, frankly, I thought it was on. Like, Ryan Pollock came up to me just before the show and said, what do you got going on tonight? I said, oh, we're going to watch the game at a sports bar. He's like, it's not on. What? I heard it was on TSN 2. Nope, not on. And it was earlier this morning that Nick Lewis ripped TSN, the veteran Al's receiver, for not airing the game, and he couldn't be more right. So there's a couple of topics for us to get to in the sports cage today, not the least of which Marshall Ferguson from TSN 1150 Hamilton, the voice of the Ticats, will be with us for a look in on Ticats camp, where, by the way, Justin Capicotti has been added to the retired list.
Yeah.
Sportsnet's Arash Madani will be checking in, and we'll visit with Riders rookie offensive lineman Darius Bladick. Darius Bladick.
I like him.
So that's coming up later on in the program. But, yes, Vince Young left the field this morning with injury. Chris Jones talked about it after the practice.
It looked like a hamstring. We'll find out more this afternoon.
How concerning is that, I mean, at this point in camp, to have Vince go down? I mean,
anytime you have a quarterback and you're trying to evaluate quarterbacks, when you get one hurt, it's never a positive.
Would that put his appearance in the preseason game a little bit of jeopardy right now? Or?
Well, we'll see. You know, I mean, we'll see exactly how bad it is and evaluate it, and then, we'll make adjustments from there.
Have you been in contact with Jake Heaps since he got let go by Seattle yesterday?
Yeah, Murph and J.O. been talking to his folks.
Coming up here.
We'll see.
You have to let somebody go then, right? A current quarterback?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, we can let another person go. You know, I mean, we're going to have to. It will have to be a cut in order to add a guy. So, but we play the games for a reason, right?
Were you concerned about Vince getting injured, being his age, and the fact he hadn't played football for a while?
Well, you know, that's a concern any time with any quarterback. Again, a guy that moves around in the pocket, and unfortunately for Vince, he took off today and ended up, pulling his hamstring.
No idea the severity of it though. Like, is it a?
No, I haven't talked. I haven't talked to the. Yeah, we just finished. Yeah. So I'm going in to figure that out here in a minute.
You have a lot of frontline guys that are kind of down the bat, quality guys that kind of take. Is it getting kind of concerning that some of the frontliners are the guys that are getting hurt?
Well, I mean, that was our last two a day. Again, I've wanted to push them because we need to. Relish this time to be able to go out and bang around and get football in us and get used to the heat, and we're not going to baby our group.
Have you got everything installed that you want to get installed
with
your playbook?
Yeah, we've got a ton installed right now. You know, we've been able to challenge these guys a lot more mentally than we were a year ago because we've got some returning people, and so we've got a ton in. We won't run all the stuff that we've got in at in the preseason games, but we've challenged them mentally.
Are you happy with the way they've adapted to all this?
Yeah, yesterday was a pretty sloppy day. I thought today was very sharp. We got 60 hard plays in. We got a ton of special teams. We had eight groups of special teams and special situations, and we still got all that done in under 3 hours.
Chris Jones today. I've cut that into about half, but you have some thoughts on the media scrum with Chris Jones today.
Everybody's so concerned about the attendance of Vince Young in Saturday's game all of a sudden. You're telling me nobody wants to know the status of Brendan Labatt? Nobody wants to know the status of S.A. Rabure. Nobody wants to know the status of Keenan LaFrance. Nobody wants to know the status of guys like Samuel Iguavin. Like, that's ridiculous that it's focused solely on one guy. That's why he's getting frustrated with all these dumb questions that people are asking him. Because it's not about him. It's about the team. And there's a lot more guys that are potentially not playing on Saturday for some sort of reason. It's not just Vince. You got a ton of other guys that you should be asking about. Right, you got a ton of. If you want to educate the fan base of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, then do it evenly, spread it out. And I get it because one of our friends just texted me, "Hey, well, nobody else had a press conference in the off season." Yes, I do get that part, and that was the off season where it was something that needed to be talked about. Where, hey, we've got this enigma in camp now, but he's been in camp now, and we've seen him. We've seen him in camp. We've seen everybody else. I'm just saying there's more going on, folks. We're over there worried about Vince Young. Man, I'm over there worried about S.A. Rabure, guys like Labatt. And I don't mean to – and I'm not saying those guys are hurt majorly, but it's just funny, and I consider it lazy if you're just going to focus on one guy when there's a ton of other guys that may not be playing on Saturday
that actually
have more to do and are probably more important to this roster in the long run.
I was just going to say, those are four potential starters that are not practicing.
We're worried about a guy that's in here competing just like the rest of them. It's lazy to me.
S.A. Mrabure, starting D-tackle. Sammy Guavin, starting Will linebacker. Keenan LaFrance, starting non-import tailback. And Brendan Labatt, starting guard. And nobody asked about them. That's Luke's problem. By the way,
on the fact that TSN is not carrying tonight's BC Lions at Calgary Stampeders preseason game. We're all very upset about that. I actually had planned to watch it. That was my whole night. Now I got to go watch The Rock and Zac Efron run around on a beach without their shirt on. I got to go watch Baywatch because I thought I was going to be watching CFL. And Boston Pizza, I'm so distraught. And K-Dog.
First world problems is just killing us here.
Damn waves. K-Dog writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line. He says, guys, I know TSN is passionate about the CFL, but the biggest problem with only having one broadcaster is the lack of competition creates zero accountability. It's pathetic in 2017 that these games are not televised. Cohan and Orridge never should have signed these exclusive deals. Hopefully the new commission does something about this. Well, I would suggest you slam TSN's inbox with complaints about the fact this game isn't on tonight. I don't like protesters, but in this case, protest it. TSN's not going to care, by the way. They're going to sit back and say, wasn't that long ago that not every regular season game was televised?
Yeah, but that's the thing.
I'm just saying they're not going to care.
It's called development. It's called that's where you are as a community. You need to continue to develop this game. And saying things like, oh, well, we're lucky. Look how far it's come. You want to continue going. You don't want to just don't want to stagnate yourself. You know, sit there going along with what's been par. No, get better. Continue to push. This isn't like TSN owns all the other rights to the other major sports, by the way. Mm-hmm. Let me just add that. Like, it's not like TSN's just dominating the market share in all these other sports. If they have something that's unique and intimate to them, they should be talking about it. They should be putting it on TV as much as
well. Here's a good one. Guys. Jeff in Yorkton. I think TSN's playing a game from last year tonight. So there you go. They got something else to wear, a replay of last year's games. So, anyways, that's our thoughts today so far as we just get rolling. And we are brought to you by Saskatchewan Lotteries, the fundraiser for more than 12,000 sport, culture, and recreation groups. We'll be right back on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. Time for a look at the Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush. Toronto's Marco Estrada gets the start tonight as the Blue Jays face the Athletics in Oakland. The Blue Jays look to bounce back after dropping the opener of the three-game series 5-3. Jesse Hahn gets the start for the A's. The New York Jets have released linebacker David Harris, a stunning move in which they part ways with a second-leading tackler in franchise history. Harris will save the Jets $6.5 million on the salary cap by being cut. And the Minnesota Twins plan to welcome Hall of Famer Rod Carew back to Minnesota next month. The team says Carew will return to Minnesota on July 3rd. It's his first trip to the state since receiving a heart and kidney transplant in December. And again, if you didn't hear in the commercial break, the Regina Red Sox home tonight, 7 p.m. at Curry Field. And that is the Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush. Boston Pizza, where we will not be watching the CFL tonight because we won't be watching it anywhere. Kelly in Calgary writes in. She says, if you want to treat everyone the same, then don't have major press conferences when you bring players in. She's talking about Vince Young. Did everyone who signed here in the offseason have a conference like Young did? Nope. It all starts there. As for TSN, they suck. Period. Grow some and put the games on. It really ticks me off because they think they know it all. Lately, lots of past games have been rebroadcast, so why the heck can't you put the live games on? Dumb. I was hoping to watch, too. That's Kelly in Calgary. Clark in Regina says, five channels? Enough said. Why even have five channels? Show the games. Grow the league. Gary in Regina says, the guide shows it's on TSN2, but it's confirmed that isn't happening. It's from last year. He goes, brutal, I had it set to tape. So lots going on. And one more on Vince Young. Rod in Regina writes in, he says, if the fans want to talk about Vince Young, guess what? That's what we're going to talk about. Right or wrong, he's the marquee guy.
Aha, there you go. And there's where that gentleman is mistaken. I totally agree with his comment. If the fans want to talk about Vince Young, then that's what we talk about. However, the fans are being force-fed Vince Young because no other reporter is talking about what else is going on in camp. That's the problem, is the media is only talking about a specific narrative, and it's the Vince Young narrative. And I totally agree with the other lady, too. Hey, there was a press conference around him, but there's so much more that's going on. Like I said, there's guys that won't be playing on Saturday that actually have long-term impact on this team, right? That's what I'm talking about, because the media is not talking about that. How could the fans not be engaged in Vince Young? They're not being given the opportunity to talk about anybody else at all, period.
Bentley in the 604 writes in, hey Rod, I have to agree 100% with Luke on VY. Also, a game from last year or the French Open, really, that's the best they can come up with five channels? That's from Bentley. By the way, in the 2 minutes we have left before the break, what are the stories coming out of today? Because you've got pages and pages of notes there in front of you.
Well, no, I took a closer look at the wide receivers today. And actually, Marquise Williams, because Vince Young went down, Marquise Williams actually got a couple more reps than he normally did. So there was stuff that we could talk about with him. Also had a conversation with one of our other friends about the defensive tackles. Man, that's going to be a busy group on Saturday. I'll tell you what, folks, they're going to be doing not only their game rotations, but they're also going to be doing literally, it seems as though one of them at some point is going to be on every single special team. We've talked about the depth there, the possibilities of maybe playing two Canadians at some point in the season if need be. Possibilities to lead off with two Canadians there with Steele and Rabiore, because you have a guy like Lyndon Gaydosh who's come in here, and hopefully he plays well to continue sort of that thought. And you also have McKenna Henry who's trying to get better and trying to compete for a spot on this roster as well. So there's plenty to talk about. And like I said, we can get into that, but we did take a closer look at the wideouts today.
We will go to Hamilton after the break. Standing by, the voice of the Hamilton Tiger Cats, Marshall Ferguson. Again, Justin Capicotti's gone to the retired list in Hamilton. Marshall will tell us about that and more positional reports from day 10 of Saskatchewan Rough Riders Training Camp 2017, presented by Coors Light, coming up. By the way, while we have a chance, let's play Pick the Score. SaskTel, Pick the Score right now. Be the fourth in-town caller, 936-6262. You'll get the smiling Riley Pollock on the other end of the line, and you folks are going to predict the score for Saturday night's preseason game, Riders and Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Just for playing, you'll win two tickets for the game. If you accurately predict the score Saturday night, you'll win a $100 gift card from the SaskTel store. We're brought to you by Sask Lotteries on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. Sports Cage continues live from Saskatoon for Saskatchewan Lotteries as the track team takes to the field here. Another great night for track and field practice. We talking about practice. Not a game. Talking about practice. And day 10 of Saskatchewan Rough Riders training camp is in the books. The story out of today's workout is Vince Young leaving with injury. His status for tomorrow, let alone Saturday's preseason game, is up in the air. Chris from Regina writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line. He says, so Vince Young just wants to be treated like everybody else in that locker room, but if this wasn't Vince Young and was just some other rookie, wouldn't he be cut by now? Let's be honest, he hasn't played very well. It seems to me this is a lost cause. Can we not move past Vince Young and start to focus on the actual talent on the roster? On that topic, Luke, if you just took Vince Young's name off and you didn't know who he was, where are you putting him on the depth chart for quarterbacks right now?
Fourth.
And are you keeping him in the regular season?
Well, you don't know if you're going to keep him in the regular season yet. He hasn't had a chance to be evaluated in a game day setting, right? But, I mean,
Too early to do that, okay, yeah.
Right now, yeah, you'd probably have him around fourth.
Farhan Lalji of TSN reporting that Vince Young was supposed to play a half in Saturday's game against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. I don't know if I'm sure it's correct. I mean, Farhan seems to have a pipeline into our locker room. He's saying Vince is scheduled to have a half. And you know what? He could be out here tomorrow and feel just fine. So that from Farhan Lalji today. And on TSN, not bothering to show the Stampeders and the Lions tonight from McMahon Stadium at 7. Bart in Vancouver writes in and says, regarding TSN deciding not to show tonight's game, you'd think they'd want to build a bit of excitement for the coming season, and God knows Rod Black could use the practice. That's from Bart in Vancouver.
Wow, how come nobody likes Rod Black? I always see those comments being made.
I don't know. He's a great guy. I don't know. They always got to have a whipping boy in Saskatchewan. Thank God it's not me. Dennis Kreklovich called in to play Sastel Pick the Score, and he says the Riders will beat the Blue Bombers 24-20 in preseason action on Saturday night. So, Dennis, thanks for playing Sastel Pick the Score. Just for playing, you will be going to the game, courtesy our friends at Sastel. We've been doing our training camp tour. I've loved it. Scruffy's done an awesome job daily heading around CFL training camps. Today, we go to Hamilton. We go to Hamilton, where Scruffy chats with Marshall Ferguson, who appears on the Wheaton Kia hotline. Save up to $6,000. Whoa, save up to $6,000 during the Great Saskatchewan Sorrento Super Sale at Wheaton Kia. My bad. Okay, Scruffy, take it away.
Our training camp tour continues. We head to Hamilton, and the voice of the Ticats is our good friend Marshall Ferguson, the play-by-play voice for the Cats on TSN 1150. Marshall, thanks for joining me. Obviously, when you look at the Hamilton Tiger Cats, you look at what they were doing last season. Zach Collaros gets hurt. Things didn't go very well after that. How's Collaros looking? Because obviously he's the key to their success, as could be said with any other CFL team and their starting quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the right place to start when you're talking about the Hamilton Tiger Cats, because Zach is really what drives the engine on this team. I mean, Simone's going to make his plays. The offensive line is going to do their best, the interior three that they have, those national guys, and you know, Revenberg stepping up at the left guard and Filer at center and having Bauman at that right guard spot. But the engine that drives it, the guy that really matters is Zach. And he's looked as much improved as you would expect, I would say. I mean, he's been as smooth as you can really ask for at this point. The thing that I've really enjoyed about Zach throughout this training camp, though, that I've noticed is different since about 2015 when I started really covering this team, is that he's taken on a little bit more of a leadership role at this point. Like, you can visibly notice, you know, not necessarily him screaming across the field at some receiver to tell him they did something wrong, but it's those little moments when, you know, a drill ends and they say, okay, let's go to individual period. And when everybody starts splitting up on their own, Zach will jog 40 yards away from where he's supposed to go and just tap a second-year receiver on the arm and say, hey, here's what I needed on that play five plays ago. You know, you can't address that stuff when you're kind of in a rapid-fire session, but he really does have the ability to communicate with those guys. And I think that the younger players respect him, whether they're nationals or internationals at this point, because they know what he has meant to the franchise for the last little while. So that's really, to me, that's been the impressive part of him through training camp, is not just his arm, but his mind.
Has the defense taken a drastic change now that Orlando Steinhauer is out and Jeff Reinbold's in, or are we going to see sort of the same pieces and the same strategies?
Nobody will tell me. I keep asking that question. I keep asking guys, you know, I go up to players, whether it's on or off the record and, you know, with or without a microphone, I just say, how different are things? And guys just keep going, you're going to have to wait and see. You're going to have to wait and see. But, I mean, I'm at practice every day, and I'm watching what they are doing. And there are definitely parts that you recognize from an Orlando Steinhauer defense in terms of alignment, blitz packages, otherwise. But there are things that you see when you're at practice that are slightly different. And I've heard from a couple of players, despite the fact that they won't say exactly what is different, they say that once in a while in the meeting room, you know, there's the kind of that out of the side of the mouth, well, you know, we did this last year and we're not going to do a whole lot of that this year. And you know, it's not even Reinbold saying that he's going to dramatically change things up. It's just him saying, you know what, I want to have my own twist on things and I want to have my own style for this defense. So I think things will mix it up a little bit more. I've seen them working a little bit more of a 30 front and using Connor McGough as kind of that ratio breaker, because as we all know, with Drake Nevis going to Winnipeg in free agency at defensive tackle and then having Andy Santos go down, that kind of opened up a spot on the defensive line where you might use that as your ratio flexibility spot. If Evan Gill shows up the way you want him to, then he could be that guy. If you have Michael Atkinson being healthy throughout the season, he could be that guy because he showed out really well last year. So it'll look a little bit different, but I mean, hey, it's the Canadian Football League. We're going to see stuff that we recognize.
Funny how you bring up the defensive line, which brings me to my next question, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you how John Chick was doing at camp this year, because we know that he had a season last year that the Riders thought he might not have had. How's he looking this year?
Yeah, I have so much respect for John Chick. It's going to pain your listeners to hear me say this, but I don't know how he ever made his way out of Saskatchewan. I mean, I understand the reasoning behind it, and anytime that you have somebody leave, like even, I mean, Darian Durant, you guys out there, when he goes to Montreal and tweaks his knee, I signed on Twitter immediately, and I see 5,000 tweets about, oh, saw that coming, couldn't trust that guy, body's breaking down. So a lot of people thought that that was going to be the story when it came to John Chick, but the guy is a motor. And I know that usually on the defensive line, people use that in terms of, you know, coming off of the ball and always having energy, but I mean, like, his energy level and his focus on what he is trying to achieve does not stop from the moment he shows up in the building in the morning until half an hour after practice is done. I mean, they're doing the power practices here in Hamilton where they're on the field from 8:30 a.m. until 11 o'clock, and then they take a 20-minute break, and then they come back out on the field and they do a one-hour on-field practice, and then they're done for the day. They're off their feet because it extends the amount of recovery and everything else they can get. And John Chick, in that 20-minute break, you know, all the young guys and Larry Dean, Simone Lawrence, they're rolling around on the ground and joking around with each other and having fun. And rightfully so. They've earned that right, and they don't have to treat their bodies the same as John Chick does. But John is smart enough to know that at this age, he needs to make sure that he is properly taking care of himself. So that 20-minute break is not a break for him. Like, he's on the field, and he's not running wind sprints or anything, but he's stretching. He's keeping his hips loose. He's keeping his wrists and everything loose. He's retaping himself. The guy does not stop, and so he looks really, really fresh. And at this point, honestly, I would say he's the anchor of the defensive line. Ted Laurent is that when it comes to a ratio perspective. But in terms of performance, Adrian Tracy is an international defensive end. It's going to come and go. You can find that speed rush guy off the edge pretty much anywhere that you really want. Adrian's great at it, but you can find that guy in a lot of places. I don't think that you can find a John Chick in a lot of places.
Marshall, one last question for you. It's been a while since the Ticats hoisted the Grey Cup, 1999 to be exact. Some would say if Kolaros didn't get hurt, maybe that would have happened last year. Could this be the year in Hamilton, and how much pressure is on Kent Austin to make that happen?
I think it's really going to come down to the defense, to be honest. I think we know what we're going to get from the offense. Terrence Tolliver is going to continue to develop. The offensive line should solidify itself if they are able to find a tackle, which is a huge question here in Hamilton after you had Jake Olsen retiring at the start of the season because he was expected to be the guy that they trusted in that right tackle spot. But if you can't protect Zach Kolaros, I don't know how far this team is going to get at all. But if they're able to do that, I think the offense is fairly solidified. There's a lot of returning faces and a lot of guys that know exactly what they're doing. To me, it's the defense. It's the special teams. I mean, the kicking game is so important to what they do here in Hamilton. And if they can't find somebody who can place the ball where they need it to be in the coverage teams, and if they can't kick field goals the way that they need, then it's going to be tough to rack up points in those little moments that you need, which win and lose you games in the Canadian Football League. And the defense is, I mean, it's on them, really. It's about trying to get pressure on the quarterback with a really talented front seven, but being able to cover on the back end of it. That was the concern last year, and I think it continues as of right now. They did overhaul the defensive backfield a little bit when they brought in Abdul Kanne. That solidified things at the boundary halfback position. But on the corners, I mean, there are spots at the corners right now where there are guys who are really athletic, but we don't know much about them. And when we get in games, you know, is Damon Washington going to be fully healthy by the time the season kicks around? If he is, that's probably a different conversation, but I would say it's more on the defense and the offensive special teams at this point. If they're able to lock those spots down, kicker, right tackle, and maybe a little bit in that defensive secondary, they could be a really good team. I think they challenge for the East Division crown, and then who knows when we get to the Grey Cup, as we learned last year.
Marshall, always good talking to you. We'll see you July 8th at Mosaic. Thanks for the time.
Can't wait. See you soon.
Marshall Ferguson, voice of the Ticats on the Wheaton Kia Hotline, brought to you by Wheaton Kia. Save up to $6,000 during the Great Saskatchewan Sorrento Super Sale. On TSN, not showing the Stamps Lions game tonight. Anonymous texter from the 250 in the BC interior writes in and says, regarding Rod Black, the only thing that annoys me is his description of a 5-yard pass every time as over the top. I don't know why some of his colleagues don't whisper in his ear and tell him, that's not what it means. Anonymous texter out of Regina says, hey guys, could Luke explain what the double barrel is for simpletons like me?
Oh, double barrel, essentially when you have a team competition, normally you'd see a team line up, let's say the 50-yard line, and they'd either go north or south, whatever.
And just say 12 versus 12.
Yeah, they'd go 12 on 12 towards a specific end zone. All double barrel means is that they're going 12 on 12 one way and then turning around and using the other half of the field to go 12 on 12 the other way. So it happens pretty quickly. There's about 20 seconds between each play because they do give them a 20-second countdown for the other side of things, but But, yeah, that's all double barrel means. They're just going offense versus defense both ways.
John in Regina writes in, says, very disappointed not to be watching preseason CFL tonight. As someone who watches darts, can you let Luke know TSN doesn't do a very good job of that either? Most of what they show is a year old. Hammer writes in, hey, Roddy, getting back to TSN broadcasting preseason games, I checked the guide and noticed the Ryder game on Saturday is also not broadcast. I'll be there anyway, but I would have thought TSN would be all over that game.
No.
Maybe TSN has a plan. I'll say this. I have no idea what the CFL governors and owners talk about when they get together. I'd love to know what they talk about. But this game not being on tonight, or for that matter, any CFL preseason game not being telecast, I would be livid. Please tell me what this is doing for the CFL right now as our season's kicking off. And it's not, it's 2017. I can watch the Rush. I can watch the Pats. I can watch flag football out of Regina online. How is it that we can't watch this game? I'm going to go on Facebook tonight. I bet you I'll be able to watch it somewhere. Somebody will be live streaming it on Facebook. Wouldn't you be livid, Luke, if you were a league owner?
Well, back in the day, I'll say this. CBC, when they carried the CFL, it was literally two camera angles, right? That's what we got.
It was, I thought they were pretty good.
Sideline. But here's the thing, though. You don't need an entire game day production. You don't need 27 cameras. You don't need the panel. You need
one camera.
Yeah, right? Just put it on and stream it and listen. People will understand. Hey, but at least they'll see something, right? Again, it doesn't have to be a full-scale production. Just give us an end zone and a sideline copy. A lot of people would be happy with that.
I don't get it. I think the CFL owners should be wild over this and have forced them to carry these games. I just don't get it. But that's just me. We're brought to you by Saskatchewan Lotteries. We'll have more training camp talk when we come back to Griffith Stadium after this timeout on 620 CKRM and the CKRM. RMP Sports Cage Sports Ticker. The Toronto Blue Jays continue a three-game series against the A's tonight in Oakland. After going at a stretch of 7 wins in 9 games, the Jays have alternated losses and wins over their past 5. Marco Estrada gets the start for the Blue Jays tonight on Sportsnet. Regina Red Sox home tonight, 7 p.m. at Curry Field. Beautiful night for baseball in the Queen City. And Cavaliers coach Tyronn Lue says he's not making any lineup changes for Game 3 of the NBA Finals, which goes tonight in Cleveland. The Cavs are down 0-2 to Golden State after being roughed up in the first 2 games of the series. But Lue said he's sticking with his starters, including guard J.R. Smith, who has scored just 3 points so far this series. And there's CFL preseason play tonight. BC Lions at Calgary Stampeders, but you can't watch it. That's the RMP Sports Cage Sports Ticker, Regina Motor Products, home of no car crap BS. Luke wants to pick up on the discussion with Marshall Ferguson just before the break, but just before we do that, another glorious day for golf, and it's a good day to catch up with Brian Raymond out at Flowing Springs. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing great, Rod. It's after a very cloudy day. It's nice to see the sun break out, and it's a nice warm evening.
Perfect night for twilight golf. Tell our listeners, please.
Absolutely. Come on out after 6 o'clock. It's only $12 to play the golf course. If you want to take a power cart, just add $15 per person for that. Tomorrow, of course, Rod, is Ladies' Day, so all day it's $25 or $35 with a cart. And, of course, we have our other specials, like $59 for you guys out there tomorrow. Gives you a green fee power cart, lunch, and a beverage. And if you happen to be over 60, you can get that same special for $49.
Anything else? Like, that's got it all. Father's Day's coming up. Brian, you must have some ideas there.
Oh, for sure. We've got stuff in the clubhouse for sure. Lots of shirts and hats and all kinds of stuff if you're looking at getting dad a golf gift for Father's Day. And, of course, you can also pick up a round of golf. We'll sell you a pass to come for your dad to come out anytime this year.
Come back anytime. So the number to call to line that up, Brian?
Give us a call at 543-5050. We'll get you on the golf course.
And are you looking forward to Saturday's Ryder game?
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to the new building as well.
Are you going to be there?
Yes.
All right. Good stuff, Brian. Well, I hope that I'm able to see you before every game. I'll be looking for you as I have for the last 20 years.
Okay, Rod. I'll look for you too.
Thanks, Brian.
Take care.
Brian Raymond out at Flowing Springs. So here we go. Back at the broadcast booth at Griffiths. You wanted to talk about the Ticats?
Well,
what Marshall said?
Well, Scruffy went in depth with Marshall there. I think that when you listen to him talk about Jeff Reinbold and whether things are going to be different defensively for the Ticats, I think that Marshall and the rest of Hamilton need to not be worried. They're probably going to share a lot of the same conceptual things. And the reason that is because I've got a good feeling that Jeff Reinbold's probably contributed a lot to Orlando Steinauer over the last few years while he's been the DC there. He's a tremendous resource to lean on. And in fact, they went from making him special teams coach to linebackers coach as well. And that's a key tell right there, that you have a guy that is in those defensive meeting rooms now and contributing more to the scheme. So I think that with Reinbold, it'll probably be more of a 3-4 type of concept. But I think that coverage-wise, you're probably going to see this sort of a lot of similarities, just because I know that Reinbold's probably contributed a lot in that locker room. The real question here is the special teams unit for the Hamilton Ticats. Moving Reinbold over from special teams to linebacker, to defensive coordinator, obviously opened up a spot. And you've got a guy here, Dennis McKnight, who steps in. I mean, he's been coaching since he probably got out of football in 1992. I mean, there's stops at Grossmont, San Diego State. He's been with Hawaii, SMU, most recently with Lamar University up until this point. But he's had his hand in special teams as well. So I don't anticipate a huge drop-off, because this guy does come with not a long, huge resume, but it is extensive. So I'm looking forward to some creativity there. And, again, they have got like Speedy Banks, obviously, in Hamilton.
People aren't ready to give up this TSN not televising preseason games. Uncle Lorne in Yorkton writes in, and I get where Uncle Lorne's coming from. I normally don't, Luke. Mm. He says, sorry, guys, I get it. No one watches preseason. Maybe somebody that lives in their mom's basement might watch it. Mm. Don't kid yourself. TSN does their homework. Who's watching preseason or not? How would you know unless you're televising the games? At least in the local markets in the National Football League, all the preseason games are televised. I can't let them off of the excuse that nobody watches, so we won't televise it. It's terrible for the league to not have the games on TV. That's it.
Well, especially when you look at the capabilities of the league today. You can stream things right now. Again, we mentioned before the break, it doesn't need to be a full-scale production. You don't need the panel. You don't need guys like Chris Schultz commenting on every player that's out there. You just need some type of coverage. Put it on. And there are many ways. You're looking at a league that just streamed round two and on of the CFL draft. So they're taking steps in other areas. They may as well find a way to take steps in the most visible area, which is the actual game itself.
Nancy in Yorkton writes in. She says, hi, can you tell me what the status of Sammy Guavin is?
Yeah, we haven't seen too much of Guavin out here since day one. So I think it's one of those things where, hey, listen, get off this Vince Young narrative. Why don't we start asking questions about some of the other guys that are also on this roster, again, that have more to do with this team's future than a guy like Vince Young would. I'm not saying don't talk about him at all, but what I am saying is there's a lot of guys, and Iguavin's one of them, that we should be really interested here.
Just got word from Arash. He is live in Oakland. He'll be joining us next hour. He won't have a take on TSN not televising CFL preseason games, other than he knows it's a bad idea. Mm-hmm. We're also going to hear from Riders head coach and general manager Chris Jones. We've got lined up. We've got lineman Darius Bladick, who you feel's had a very solid training camp. And I'll tell you what, if he doesn't make the football team, he's going to be crushed. But we, as they all will. But we got a lot of time, Luke, to get into what's going on, because this team is far, far away, I think, from making any decisions on any starters for week one. We're brought to you by Saskatchewan Lotteries, the fundraiser for more than 12,000 sport, culture, and recreation groups. We're also going to talk to the listeners about our fun Father's Day contest that we've got running, where you can get a tour of New Mosaic Stadium with me. So much going on. But first, the news here at the top of the hour on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. Turn down for what? The Sports Cage is on the air, coming at you live from beautiful Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, brought to you by Saskatchewan Lotteries, the fundraiser for more than 12,000 sport, culture, and recreation groups. Day 10 of Saskatchewan Rough Riders training camp is in the books. It was a windy but sunny affair this morning. Now sunny tonight, 24 degrees here in Saskatoon. As track practice is underway, we're working our way towards Saturday night's preseason game against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers at New Mosaic Stadium. We'll be giving away some tickets to our chain gang here today. Some lucky listeners for that football game, courtesy SaskTel, pick the score. And a lot going on. The news coming out of today's workout, Vince Young left the field with a hamstring injury. It's the top item running on TSN.ca right now. Big news, his status is in question for Saturday's game. Farhan Lalji at TSN reporting that he was supposed to be getting a half a football on Saturday night, and he still may. We'll see how he comes out tomorrow. But Luke Mullender's here, and just before we go to Oakland live to chat with Arash Madani, we've got some questions. I want to get to one here from Bentley Bolitsky in Regina. Luke, he wants to know on the Prairie Mobile text line, how do the draft picks look here through 10 days, this year's draft picks?
I assume you're talking about the – well, I'll tell you what. Let's start with the receiver.
And we only have about 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's who we looked at today. Mitch Pickton, we'll talk about him. I know he's a draft pick. He looked good today, and he's looked good overall in camp with what he's been given. The thing about Pickton is he's really – he understands how to set up a route. So he understands, hey, if I've got to get 5 yards to the right – he understands about setting DBs up to, you know, leaning towards the left, getting things going, momentum going towards his left so he can make that cut, right? Things like that. He's just a smart player or slash route runner, and I really think that Andy Fantuz was like that in his first year. I'm not saying he's going to be the next Andy Fantuz, but it's just a reminder of just sort of the routes that he runs and how smooth he is, and he also can catch pretty much anything that's in the circumference of his body. So, I mean, as far as that draft pick analysis goes for that, I think that's pretty good for Mitch. You look at guys like Darius Bladick, who we'll talk about later.
And we'll talk to him later, yeah.
Yeah, talk to him. I think that he's having a good camp. The thing that stands out about him is the energy that he brings to the field. Everything that he does in fifth gear. For an old lineman, that's not that great, but he does it in fifth gear. He's always looking to learn. He wants to finish blocks, which is important. So I think, yeah, I'm really excited to see a guy like him play. Dylan Guy, I know he's. Oh, we got one more minute. Let's touch on Mark Gloed. He's been taking a lot of snaps at center. I think he's up to the task there again. We're going to have to see him against some of these Winnipeg defensive tackles. And Eddie Meredith is also a guy. He hasn't stood out a ton, but he has been getting the job done. I'll tell you what, I think that as far as performance goes, all three of those guys have been a lot more visible than a guy like Ryan White, for instance.
Oh, Riley telling us that Arash Madani's phone is busy out in Oakland. So just give us a big yell, Riles, when you get a hold of Arash Madani in advance of the Jays and A's game two of their midweek set. And, of course, Cameron Judge is not here yet. When a guy comes in late to camp last night, and it's not a holdout, he's finishing finals at UCLA. He's finishing things up before he comes here. How tough is it? You said missing one day feels like a month.
Yeah.
How about a guy like Cameron Judge? Because apparently he is coming.
Well, when he gets there, he's going to be behind for sure. And we talk about the fact that it's just opened up a bunch of reps to other players. But his first thing is going to be to get acclimated to the playbook. He's a Bruin, so he's played fast football, which is how you'd probably want to identify a Chris Jones defense. It's a fast football conference. He's played in some big games. That Stanford game's always a game that stands out there. I know UCLA plays Notre Dame as well, so he's played in some big-time football games. But, yeah, he's got to get acclimated to the playbook first. He's got to get into the locker room, into the meeting room, and get with his teammates and start learning and forming those relationships within the linebacker group.
The other newsworthy item out of today, aside from Vince Young's injury, is that the Riders have contacted free agent quarterback Jake Heaps, who was released by Seattle yesterday. No word yet, though, on whether or not he's going to be joining the Riders here in Saskatoon. So we go to Oakland now. Jays and A's coming up tonight on Rogers Sportsnet. Arash Madani's there. Arash, how did the opener of the series go last night, aside from an A's victory?
Well, I just talked to Jay Happ, who started yesterday for the Blue Jays, Rod. He said, you know, he looked at me and said, can you believe 5 runs on 2 hits? That's what he gave up yesterday, and that was the difference in the ballgame. Now, they're setting some records here, some franchise records that's not good. They are now on an 0-for-36 run with runners in scoring position. They just haven't been able to cash in the big hit, Roddy, and it's really hurt them.
Injuries mounting up, too. Did they come out of last night's game with some more injuries?
It wasn't last night. On Sunday, Devin Travis, starting second baseman. He got hit by a pitch right on the forearm. And then it looked like he re-aggravated it, diving back into third base. Turns out today he was put on the disabled list, but not for that. They're calling it a bone bruise and a cartilage issue in his right knee. And the reason that's a concern is because over the offseason, Travis had surgery on that right knee, the surgery that basically had him rehabbing over spring training, not playing during spring training. And the guy beside you will tell you, you have knee surgery on one issue, and suddenly, you know, 8 weeks after rehab, it flares up on you again. That can be a real worrying deal, and that's where the Blue Jays second baseman Devin Travis is right now.
Six games out of first place as we sit here in the first week of June. Have you guys sat around and wondered where the Jays would be if you had a full deck, if the Jays had a full deck, not having gone through these injuries here in April?
It's funny. I'm doing a sit-down with John Gibbons in about 45 minutes, Rod. That's the first question I have for him. Because you really wonder, right? Last year they had their starting rotation healthy for almost the entire season. Now you look at this infield, Donaldson, Tulowitzki, and now Travis have been banged up. Steve Pierce on left field, one of their free agent signings, he's on the shelf for about 8 weeks with a calf injury. Yeah, you do wonder, but what can you do? Right? I mean, this is the hand you're dealt from an injury standpoint. But I'm looking up right now. Luke Maley is their starting catcher today. Zeke Carrera is their starting left fielder. Ryan Goins, their starting second baseman. This is a far cry of what they thought this team would be.
No kidding. Can you give me some context on Oakland, by the way, Arash? The Golden State Warriors up 2-0 in the NBA Finals. The Raiders primed to move out of town within the next couple of years. How is the psyche of that city and that area in the Bay?
Well, it's Dubs Mania right now. The cool part about this ballpark is that basically a tunnel attaches the baseball stadium, Oracle Arena, which even with the Warriors gone to Cleveland, is still lit up in blue and gold at night. But the number one talk in town right now is Marshawn Lynch, who is back with the Raiders. He held a five-minute media availability today, and the local TV station ran it live. And Jack Del Rio, the Raiders coach yesterday, posted a video of, you know, him watching tape of Marshawn just running through the line, floating through the line, and Beast Mode is alive and well. So the fact that Marshawn has returned home to Oakland at a time where the NBA team is in the finals, that's front page news.
Guess he's healthy, hey, Luke?
Yeah.
He's rested, hey, Rash?
Well, that's it. I mean, one full season of not getting hit. Think of what that does to the body. And it's not like he was rehabbing an injury or coming off surgery. You know, that's a big part of all this. The interesting thing, fellas, is that don't be sleeping on the Raiders now. Derek Carr, you know, had that team rolling until he got hurt late last December in a game against Indianapolis. The AFC West may end up being the most competitive division in the NFL this season. The Raiders, the Chargers lost five or six games the last minute and a half last season. Kansas City hosted a playoff game. Denver's defense is still ridiculous. So the AFC West may very well be the division to watch.
Any take, Arash, and I know it's a dangerous one for you, but we're livid and our listeners are too, that tonight's Calgary-BC game is not on television anywhere. We can't even stream it online. I said last hour, if I was an owner or a governor of this league, I'd be livid that these all of the preseason games aren't on. Are you able to comment on that?
Well, I just find it amazing that in 2017, any pro league would not be able to stream anything. You know, I go to the U Sports Women's National Basketball Championship, and those games can be streamed, but these can't. You know, Canada West streams their football game. The OUA streams their football game. You pick up a radio feed and do it. And do it. And I, for the life of me, I can't understand why you wouldn't.
Yep, me either. Well, enjoy the game, my friend. Say hey to Gibby for me. Tell him to hang in there.
You will do. But I got to say this too, Rod. On that thought, the Ticats last week did a hell of a job putting on a slick presentation on Ticats.ca.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they follow that up this year or not, but there are teams that do it right, and hopefully more teams will follow.
You go. It was awesome. Really good. All right, my man. Thanks, Arash.
See you, boys.
Sportsnet's Arash Madani out in Oakland on the Wheaton Kia Hotline. Brought to you by Wheaton Kia. Save up to $6,000 during the Great Saskatchewan Sorrento Super Sale. And I don't get that. Arash is right. Saskatchewan leads, well, for a long time, led in the entire league. Now they lead in the West. Hamilton leads in the East. They both, Luke, did live streams of preseason games in the past. You were part of ours.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the great Dan Plaster. It drew, from what I recall, up to 100,000 viewers online. Yeah, they do university basketball games for the parents and the friends and the family and whoever may want to watch. I got to think there'd be hundreds of thousands of people that would tune in tonight. I know I would. I know you would. I know our listeners would. I just don't get it. And I don't know what these discussions are. That's why I said last hour, I don't know what they're saying at the governor level in the CFL if TSN said, no, if we're not televising it, you're not streaming it. Because I got to think.
That's usually what happens.
Yeah. But should they be allowed to do that? I mean, you said it. I'm not sure if it was on the air or off last hour. You said just because you stroked the big check as the rights holder doesn't mean you can't do what's best for the league. What's happening tonight is not what's best for the CFL.
You should be leading those initiatives if you stroke the big check. You should be out front looking to get creative. That's all. And you're right. We talked about that last hour. You should be streaming this. It doesn't take. We don't need a huge production. Throw the game up. Throw the reps on. Throw a digital score down on the bottom of the screen. You're good.
I also get where TSN's coming from. Hey, if we can't give it the best quality, we don't want to air it. But that's not necessarily right.
No one's going to accuse them of that, though.
They wouldn't. They'd be, thank you, TSN, for airing the game.
They can say that. Like, listen, we're going to stream the game in its entirety. It's going to be a tapered version of what you usually
get. But you're going to get it.
Yet still, you're going to get it.
It's an abusive relationship. We're paying you, so shut up, and we're going to treat you like crap, and you're going to like it.
Now you're walking a tightrope.
What? Just drawing an analogy. We're brought to you by Saskatchewan Lotteries, the fundraiser for more than 12,000 sport, culture, and recreation groups. We'll be right back to Saskatoon after this timeout on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. Taking care of business on the sports cage for Saskatchewan Lotteries, live from Saskatoon. Boston Pizza afternoon rush. The Toronto Blue Jays will look to bounce back from a loss in Oakland last night as they continue their three-game series against the Athletics. Right-hander Marco Estrada gets the ball for the Blue Jays, who are still last in the American League East, six games behind the New York Yankees. Meanwhile, the Regina Red Sox home tonight, 7 bells at Curry Field. Free agent receiver Jeremy Maclin is making the Buffalo Bills the first stop in his bid to land a new job. The Bills announced they were hosting Maclin for a visit today, 4 days after the 7-year vet was released by the Kansas City Chiefs for salary cap reasons. He's twice topped 1,000 yards receiving. CFL tonight, Calgary home to BC. No television coverage of that, nor online. No Stanley Cup playoffs, no NBA, which it means it looks like we're going to the movie Baywatch tonight. That's the Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush. Try Boston Pizza's new signature pizza recipes like chicken shawarma and Canadian back bacon, eh? Boston Pizza will make you a fan. So Luke's been sitting here for a while, doubling back on day 10 of Rider training camp today. What else? Vince Young was hurt. Jake Heaps, they're talking to about bringing him in. There's some serious names on the injured list. I don't know if they're serious injuries or not. S.A. Mrabouri, Sammy Guavin, Brendan Labatt, Keenan LaFrance. What are the other stories that you saw today?
Well, I don't think they're necessarily stories. I just thought guys were out there flying around.
Let's talk about the one-on-ones.
I thought it was a better practice today, that's for sure.
Yeah.
The one-on-ones, it's funny because we focused on the receivers a little bit more today, and it was nice that they got into those one-on-ones of the red zone. We've talked about Mitch Picton already. I haven't talked a ton about Nick Dembski, but it's funny. We haven't mentioned his name too much, but he's made every single play that's came his way. He's got everything. He's so dangerous just because of his lateral quickness and his footwork ability. He's really tough to handle. Like, especially when you're a DB and you're trying to jam a guy. Him and Naaman Roosevelt are the same way. Naaman's so fast that if you don't get hands on him within that first five, you're in real trouble. I mean some real trouble. So it's good to see those guys. It's funny, there's such a difference between guys like Nick and Naaman and then Rob Bagg, because Rob Bagg's not going to beat you off the line with lateral, like, footwork and quick move. Even though he has ability, he's just insanely smart, and that comes with veteran experience that he has. And it's funny, just the slightest movement of everything's calculated. For instance, you watch him in the end zone today in the one-on-ones, and it's not running into a DB. It's just such a calculated, just one quick little movement with his arm clears so much space that young guys have to work for with footwork and everything like that. For instance, Nick or even Mitch Picton will be down there, and they'll have to give some lateral shake to him to get free. Rob comes in, goes right into the DB, uses a vet move, just like, it's hard to explain on radio, just small movements like an arm shiver or something like that, and that's the way he's able to free himself up. You keep thinking into this receiver group. Bakari Grant's probably been the most consistent guy that's been in here since he got here. He's a guy that's caught everything again that's come his way.
And you did say when he was signed that was an unheralded signing.
Yeah, nobody talked about it, but that was a huge signing because he's a guy that you were going to be able to use in the capacity that he is now, or he was going to be able to sit there and come in and make a big play, as true veterans do down when you get into that second half of the season. It's nice to see they're using him early because, again, he's been one of the more consistent guys. So I think the receiver group is in good shape. We talk about that, the depth there. Jensen Stoshek, he's another guy that if it's within his radius, he's going to catch. He's got some really soft hands too. He's not a guy that goes out there and battles the ball. Wherever it is, it's just it's a cradled catch. And again, that's the type of catches I guess you'd see out of guys like Fantuz or the better receivers. Just some very soft hands. And it's no wonder you move a guy like Joe Craig out to DB. You have to find a way to take advantage of Joe Craig's speed on the field, so you move him over to DB because there's such a list of guys that are potentially standouts here. Antoine Grant. There was literally 3 days where we didn't see Antoine Grant, and the next thing you know, he comes out here today and gets right back on track. Ahmad Fullwood's looking like the playbook isn't losing him. He continues to be out here developing, making plays. So I think that group's in good shape. But again, you got guys at the head of it like Rob Bagg. You really see the utility that Daron Carter is. They've put him in every single situation, whether it's been slot, whether it's been wide out, whether it's been returning on special teams, even though he bungled a couple today during punt return. But There's a lot of talent. Caleb Holly, it was good to see him out here today because even Caleb Holly assessed himself as having broken something during Saturday. So it was nice to see him running around.
I broke something.
Talented group out here.
And he didn't. He's back out here today. We've got until the top of the hour, all football and time, folks, for your questions and comments on the Prairie Mobile text line 551-CKRM, 551-2576. Or on the Pilsner Twitter feed, at Rod Peterson. That's what we're going to do. Write us at Rod Peterson on the Pill Twitter feed. And it's brought to you by Pilsner to celebrate your Pill loyalty. Cases of Pilsner now on sale for a special low price. Please drink responsibly. And we want to tell our listeners that Father's Day is Sunday, June 18th. And 620 CKRM, the Rider Store, and Reliance McKenzie Plumbing and Heating can make Father's Day an extra special day for your dad with the 620 CKRM Father's Day New Mosaic Stadium backstage tour with Rod Peterson. Prize package includes a tour of the stadium and lunch with Rod Peterson. How about that, Luke? Your dad, wouldn't you like to enter? No?
Can I have lunch with you?
Yeah, you've only had it every night, yeah. And I've been paying. You better answer that right. A $200 gift certificate for your dad to the Rider Store in the new Mosaic Stadium. Plus, Dad gets a limited 4x4 stainless steel table with etched Rider logo from the 620 CKRM Green and White Lounge in historic Mosaic Stadium. Register your dad right now. Be caller number 5.
Nice.
Toll free at 1-866-767-0620. Register your dad for the 620 CKRM Rider Store and Reliance McKenzie Plumbing and Heating Father's Day extra special day for your dad. Busta Rhymes is on it. Caller, what did I say? Caller 4 or 5?
I think so. 5.
5. Correct. Caller 5 on the toll-free line, 1-866-767-0620. The Cage returns to Saskatoon for Saskatchewan Lotteries right after this on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. Sports Cage continues from Saskatoon for Saskatchewan Lotteries. We got Luke Mullender with me, and an hour left in the show coming up. Riders lineman Darius Bladick. By the way, Busta Rhymes, our new full-time producer, telling us that he got to caller 5 on the Father's Day contest, and then the guy goes, oh, I just wanted to go on the air with Rod and Luke. So we don't have an entrance, so we got to do it all over again. First caller through, toll-free right now. You'll be entered for the Father's Day contest for the Sports Cage. Oh, Reliance McKenzie Plumbing and Heating in the Rider Store. Get your dad entered for the 620 CKRM Father's Day new Mosaic Stadium backstage tour with Rod. I'm reading it right in front of me as we go. Would you come for lunch with us, Luke? Would you mind coming?
Depends what day it is.
Oh, yeah, you're so busy.
Well, man, I do have things going on.
Yeah. I know. So,
yeah, just let me know what day it is.
Glenn writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line and says, Rod, when will the Riders make the first cuts? And that's a great question because since I've been in this league until this year, it was always the first wave of cuts was after the first game. The last wave of cuts was after the last preseason game. Somebody wrote me on Twitter, a fan the other day, and said that's all been changed. And there's one main cut down now, and that's after the second preseason game. Were you aware of this change to the Constitution?
No, I wasn't. I didn't know that. That would be news to me. So, if that's the way,
I'm
not sure. I'm not sure if I like that rule either.
I don't like it either. June
17th. Not because of the optics, and you want fans to be involved in the process. I just eventually you have to scale down to start preparing to compete. And if teams aren't allowed to make cuts, they've just got to to be quite honest, these teams are going to know who they want and don't want pretty close to the time before those final cuts are made. There'll be some final last-minute decisions. That's why that first round of cuts is so crucial, because it's the guys that the teams know that they weren't part of the plans moving forward for sure, right? The second cuts are placement, where you get the guys, okay, you've made the team, but we're putting you on, for instance, injured reserve. You're on the practice roster. You're doing this. We're going to retire you for a while. Things like that, right? So I think that it impedes the competition process, because a lot of these teams are probably going to want to start focusing in on actual regular season install and things like that. And you don't want to do that with guys that you know aren't going to be part of the roster, but you also don't want to waste their time. Yeah, that's a tough decision.
I mean, I'd be interested to know
what went into that decision.
I know, and I don't know that the guy that wrote me on Twitter is listening to the show now, but I mean, we were at CFL week when the CFL rulemakers all met.
Yeah.
I got to think this is a Huffnagel and Wally rule, because they're the guys that make all the rules, but I don't remember Glenn Johnson standing out in front of us, and I was right there in front of him when he said, this is what we talked about. The change to the challenge we made at Labor Day last year is going to stay. This change, that change. Change to the cut-down date was not something I ever recall being seen, but this is what a guy told me.
But it's also something that wasn't in the forefront when they went into those meetings, right? Nobody was complaining about the cut-down dates and things like that. So it might have just slipped under the radar if it did.
Or there was no change at all, and the guy that wrote me on Twitter was wrong.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, is the first wave of cuts is this Sunday, that wouldn't surprise me either. But remember this too, Luke, with 9 teams – and these preseason games all staggered. For instance, Calgary's playing tonight, and then they're playing next Sunday.
Yeah.
It would almost – one date would be better for everybody, just one date.
Well,
because the games are so staggered.
Yeah, because of the 9 teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something to consider as well.
Shane in Assiniboia writes in. He says, sorry if you guys brought this up already. Do you have an update on Durant's injury? Great show as always.
Oh, he's been practicing. He's practiced for the last couple days now. So all things are go for Darian Durant.
That was quick. Regarding Vince Young's injury and the fact that TSN is not carrying tonight's Lions Stampeders game, Adam from Theodore writes in,
a few questions. I absolutely agree, guys. Look at our game on Saturday. It's almost sold out, and no one else can see what's going on. It may be, barring injury, the only chance to see Vince Young in a Rider jersey. When is the TV contract up? When it is, I hope we have a smart commissioner and a board of governors to bring up all this. That's the thing. I'm not sure that the commissioner has a problem with the fact these games aren't on, or the board of governors. I really don't even know if they have a problem about it, because we never hear from them.
Well, the problem is you don't have a commissioner right now, so there's nobody to press the issue, right? So
that, yeah, too.
We've talked about the people who are responsible for those decisions. Wayne Morski is part of that group of hiring a new commissioner. They've just gotten started on that process, so, or at least the interview process for that. So it's unfortunate because you don't have someone leading those conversations, calling TSN and being like, hey, guys, what's going on? Because nobody has time. Everybody's worried about actually figuring out who's going to make those calls.
Yeah, everything's running great. Adam goes on to say, who is a person or persons at camp that seems to always get open and makes the tackle first on the returner on special teams? Any thoughts on that?
Well, the guy that always gets open is Jensen Stashek. He's done a great job of adapting to the CFL playbook and what Stephen McAdoo, the offensive coordinator, is asking his receivers to do. And in turn, the quarterbacks are looking for him a lot more because they know that there's a high likelihood of him being open. As far as special teams in terms of coverage periods, I mean, you don't get a lot of competitive drills when it comes to special teams. You get a lot of formations and, hey, these are your lanes you need to run down in, these are your blocking assignments, things like that. But when there has been competition periods, small ones at that, guys like Kevin Francis really stick out, for instance. I mean, he's a guy that is aggressive in everything he does. You always want to watch the DBs because they're usually the guys that get the work at the gunner positions. So that's the guys on the most the closest to the sidelines that are usually responsible or always responsible for containing the kicker. So they're the guys who are usually first down to the field. So you just want to probably look at that DB group. But as far as guys that stick out during those competitive special teams drills, I would say Kevin Francis is the guy that jumps off the page.
Fake Gainer writing us on the Pilsner Twitter feed. Fake Gainer says, hard to predict this early, but who's your all picks for the 2017 most outstanding player and most outstanding defensive player? Well, tough questions from Fake Gainer, but I know he's a sharp guy. Well, let me go out on a limb. Injuries notwithstanding, let's say there are none.
Yeah.
I'll say Kevin Glenn for MVP and most outstanding on defense, Enoch Mwamba. That's what I'll say.
Are you talking just for the Saskatchewan Roughriders?
Yeah.
Their candidates or whatever you call it, their nominations.
Yeah.
I think early on, I would go nominations for most outstanding defensive player would be Willie Jefferson. I think he's on the cusp of a really, really good season. And as far as most outstanding player overall, that is a really tough one. And I am going to go with Daron Carter.
Wow. Think that much of him, huh?
Well, I think that he's got a good chance. He's got as good a chance as anybody to compete in any position, whether it be slot, wideout, on special teams. You see him starting to dabble in the return areas, and that's what you brought him in for. You brought him in to be a offensive threat. So I think he's going to get his fair share of footballs. But again, there's only one football in a game. So, and there's a bunch of guys out here that are capable of catching passes. But I'm also being realistic, and when you talk about the league's most outstanding player, it's very rarely a defensive player. So it literally limits you to quarterbacks, receivers, running backs, and offensive linemen. So take the offensive linemen out immediately. What you have left is the quarterback group, the running back group, and the receivers. So I'm going to go with your best overall player or one of the better overall players in Daron Carter.
Don Ryback writes us. He's from Saskatoon on the Pilsner Twitter feed. He says, holy crow, Luke is ranting like Lynch today. However, unlike Lynch, some of Luke's rants make sense. That's from Don.
Thank you very much.
Metal Shingle Guy writes in. He says, hi, guys. Why would Vince Young want to be around as the fourth guy? And why would the Riders keep him at number four instead of a young gun? He goes on to say, are you not streaming on Riders Live? No, the Riders are not live video streaming the football game, which we'll get to in a moment. But Vince as the fourth guy, Luke, I got to go by what Murph said. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. We don't know whether Vince is going to settle out at fourth, and if he does, if Vince is willing to wait at fourth. We don't know that yet.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I think that going into this training camp, you had to be cautious about where your thought process was because of the cross section you had. You had Kevin Glenn, who you knew was going to be that front runner the majority of camp. And to tell you the truth, he hasn't given you any excuse not to remain there. Right? I would say it'd be different if you were saying, well, Kevin Glenn hasn't had a good camp, but he's been lights out. He's done everything that you need a leader to do. And then you had Vince, obviously, but you had some really young quarterbacks in there too. So I think there was a spotlight on Brandon Bridge coming in here. I think that you had to figure out what type of quarterback he was going to be, and this is a very important year for him being at the third. I think you had a guy like Brian Bennett, who I know the staff was excited about, but again, hadn't seen him in full action. So you weren't really willing to commit on what type of role Vince Young had because you didn't necessarily know where your other quarterbacks were going to fall. But as things play out, and the season started, I think if the season started tomorrow, the question would be, okay, if Vince isn't our starter or our second string guy that we're anxious to get in the game, then do we really keep him in the third and fourth spot when a guy like Brandon Bridge can keep developing? Or we can take a closer look at Marquise Williams. Marquise Williams, for instance, today had a lot more reps now that Vince Young did go down. In those reps, what you saw was a quarterback who still had to get his timing down. Now, what I mean by timing, I don't mean I do. When I talk about timing, I mean in an offensive concept, when a play is designed to get open, say your first option is designed to get open after 10 yards and he goes towards the corner of the end zone, right? So say you throw him a post corner, he's supposed to get the ball at 12 yards on that. When I talk about timing, I mean Marquise Williams has to adjust to when he throws that, when the expectation of the wide receiver is going to be that, hey, the ball is going to be here when. Because there are guys that he's not throwing to that are open in certain windows that he's missing, and then what he's having to do is he's having to go through his progression because he's missed the window of opportunity to get those balls to those wide receivers. But the thing about Marquise Williams is all of that comes with reps, and now that he's getting more, that timing should be better. He should be identifying the windows of opportunity for his receivers a lot quicker. So you'd expect for him to keep growing into that. So it's all a matter of, okay, what do you do with Vince then? But I think that before even coming into camp, that conversation was impossible because you didn't know what you had in the rest of the guys. Because by all means, Kevin Glenn could have come in here and be terrible. He could have thrown 6 picks a day, and then you'd be sitting here. Then I'll tell you what, then
you'd be worried.
Panicking. Yeah. So.
Yeah. By the way, on the lack of the television broadcast of the Stampeders Lions game tonight, Chris and Brandon writes in and he says, it's the team's responsibility to stream if TSN doesn't broadcast it. Get with it, Calgary. I think that's wrong.
Well, to be fair, I don't think the teams have a choice sometimes.
They were shut down by TSN.
They say, okay, well, we're the broadcast rights holder. We don't want you streaming. I mean, there has been experiments and things like that, and again, we're not sitting there in those meeting rooms with TSN and the CFL, but I do know that that's happened to previous teams before where they're told, no, you're not streaming it live.
Yeah, I don't know the reasons for this. Just with regards to this Saturday's game for the Riders, for instance, the team told me, we're not streaming it. Boom. Yeah. They're not at liberty or obligated to tell anybody. Why? The fact is, they're not. We can only guess. So that's the deal. And unfortunately, we're not watching CFL football tonight when there is a game in Calgary. You can, of course, listen to it. And you got your choice between Mark Stephen of the Stamps or Scott Rintoul of the BC Lions.
Who would you listen to?
All
the same?
Yeah, they're 50-50. Listen to the home team probably.
But I'm
friends with both.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, it'll be on satellite radio tonight as well. I might end up doing that unless I go to a movie. Have you decided yet?
I'm going to go to the office.
Okay. Might be going to the movies solo.
Hey.
Just like the last time I lived in Saskatoon. We're brought to you by Saskatchewan Lotteries on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. RM. TMB SportsCade Sports Ticker. The Toronto Blue Jays look to even their three-game series in Oakland tonight. The A's won the opener 5-3 last night. Marco Estrada starts for the Jays as he tries to bounce back from a rough outing last week against the Yankees. He allowed 7 runs over 3-plus innings in a 12-2 loss. CFL preseason action gets underway tonight in Calgary. The Stampeders welcome the BC Lions to McMahon Stadium. The Stamps are coming off a season that saw them go 15-2-1 in the regular year, but then get upset by Ottawa in the Grey Cup final. 7 o'clock kickoff at McMahon Stadium. And Detroit Lions offensive tackle Taylor Decker has had shoulder surgery and is out indefinitely. Lions coach Jim Caldwell says Decker was injured last week during an off-season workout. Caldwell declines to say how Decker was hurt. Detroit drafted Becker 16th overall in 2016. He has started every game at left tackle. Red Sox home tonight, 7 o'clock at Curry Field. And the Kootenai Ice of the WHL have hired James Patrick as their new head coach. That's the RMP SportsCade Sports Ticker. Regina Motor Products, home of no car crap BS. Real quickly, SaskTel picked the score. Let's play it again. Call us now in town. Caller 2 at 936-6262. 936-6262. SaskTel picked the score. Riders Bombers predict the score of the game. Just for playing, you'll win 2 tickets to Saturday night's preseason game. If you accurately predict the score, you will win a $100 gift card from the SaskTel store. Call Riley now.
Sorry, I thought it was the Father's Day special competition. I was going to ask you, where are you guys eating lunch?
Ha, does it matter? Seriously? It's free.
No, I don't know.
I don't know where it is. That's a good question. I don't know. They just tell me where to go, and I go there.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I made my predictions on the CFL West Division today on Twitter because somebody asked. I've been called all kinds of things, a POS. People asked if I'm back drinking again. I went.
Wow.
Yeah,
they went there, huh?
I went BC, Calgary, Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, and Edmonton. It's because you sold me on BC stock.
Well, I don't
Are you picking BC first?
Yeah, I told you they're my favorite to be the front runner for that West Division. Absolutely. I think that they've had a tremendous offseason. They have a plan. You know where it's coming from in Wally. They're bringing their staff back. I think they're going to be a really good team going in. I know that they've lost Bazzi, and I know that they've
– Big Hill.
They're also without Adam Big Hill, but I do think that they're going to have a decent secondary back there. They're going to have somebody waiting in the wings. That's what you recruit for. So, I have a feeling BC is going to be really good.
We're going to take a timeout and come back with Hour 3. We'll hear from Riders rookie offensive lineman Darius Bladik, the new Polish prince. Some of our listeners have comments on you on the Riders live stream. We'll talk about that and more when we come back in the Sports Cage for Sask Lotteries on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. Tuesday night, coming at you live from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Mm. Gorgeous evening.
Yeah.
Day 10 of Saskatchewan Rough Riders training camp is in the books. We're brought to you by Saskatchewan Lotteries. All guests appearing on the Wheaton Kia hotline. And we're working our way towards Saturday's Riders preseason game against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Luke Mullender's with me. And I didn't like the forecast I just heard from Jim Smalley, the Ayatollah of canola. 60% chance of showers for Saturday night in the Queen City.
Showers is different from like rain and thunderstorm, though, right? Like, does that mean just drizzling?
It's wet.
Does it? Yeah,
it's wet.
Got the University of Saskatchewan Huskies out here, and I see Fleury has joined them.
Scott Fleury?
Yeah, he's out there watching over his troops. That would suck if it rains, by the way.
It wouldn't be too good, and so there's that, and then there's the fact that Vince Young got hurt today. At this training camp, Farhan Lalji of TSN reporting that Vince Young was supposed to get a half on Saturday night against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and now he was hurt today. But I think it was mild. I mean, I don't know how I missed it. I was on the sidelines. Well, you were up here. You saw it.
He just scrambled. He broke off for about a 12-yard gain through the D and probably pulled his hammy a little bit.
Any prognosis in your mind? Any guess as to see him out here tomorrow or even Saturday?
I would think that there'd probably be Like, for instance, I think that if he's not out by Friday, you're probably looking at not having him. But I wouldn't see those hamstrings. I mean, people pull those all the time. And I think that the Saskatchewan Rough Riders staff, to their credit, has also been very cautious with everybody when it comes to the players that get dinged up or they think something's wrong. Like, they've taken exception to the, they haven't been like, nah, you're all right, go out, right? They've taken them in, they've done their homework, they've checked them out. So I think it was just part of the process, and I think that it didn't look serious. I mean, even when he was walking off into the dressing room, he wasn't limping.
Now, but it's a player-by-player-by-player scenario. Exactly. Like, I remember Dan Farthing, who you never played with, but you know Dan. I remember a hamstring injury he had years ago that was so severe he couldn't sit on the toilet for 10 days.
Really?
Yet he came out and played because it was high up and it was severe.
Oh,
some
wow.
guys have had mild ones and never missed a day. So for Vince Young, at 6'5", it's probably a pretty long hamstring. I guess we'll find out over the next couple of days how
there's
serious.
A lot of it to pull, is
yes,
what you're
that's my point. So the CFL preseason gets underway tonight. It's the Calgary Stampeders at home to the BC Lions. I was all set to go to Boston Pizza on 8th Street, one of the nicest BP's lounges I've ever been in. You were with me there last week. They treat us like kings. I'm going to sit down and watch the Stamps and the Lions on TSN2 and have a pizza. It's not on TV.
That doesn't stop you from having a pizza.
Nah, I'm not doing it. I'm going to watch the football game that's now not on. And Nick Lewis of the Stamps, formerly the Stamps, now the Owls, tweeted today, he hates the fact that TSN isn't carrying this game tonight. He's like, come on, you got 5 channels. And most CFL fans across this country are saying the exact same thing. We've had a ton of reaction from our listeners today. Some like this. Brad Herchina writing in from Regina. He says, teams have a hard time filling the seats for preseason as it is. Televising the games would make it harder, especially if the weather is poor. Wrong, in my opinion. Wrong.
Well,
that's archaic way of looking at things. It's a 3-hour commercial on national television for your league. End of story. You can't black out these games because of ticket sales.
Well, you just got to remember what time period you are in the season, in the 2017 season. People want to see. People are excited about football more than ever right now because they haven't seen it for so long. So there's a high likelihood of people tuning in right now. It's not like it's just a great period in time because people are thirsty. People are paying attention to the blogs. They're paying attention to the websites. They're paying attention to the fan forums. You should take advantage of that because, again, they're hungrier for CFL football. It's going to dissipate, to tell you the truth, once the season does start.
Yep.
Right? So
you're right.
Take advantage of the
Nick
form.
Lewis said that, too.
Oh, really?
He's like, we've been waiting for months for CFL football. There's a game tonight. And you're not televising it. And the other thing, if we can just go one step further, Chris Jones has been a proponent, ever since I've gotten to know him, of moving the season up just 2 weeks to the start of June.
Mm-hmm.
And the argument, there are a lot of them from the CFL tall foreheads who say that, oh, no, we don't want to go up against the Stanley Cup Finals. It's Nashville-Pittsburgh. If you're going to watch CFL, you're going to watch CFL. People, they're getting outside. I don't see a lot of euphoria over Nashville, Pittsburgh, or whoever it could have been. It could have been Anaheim, Ottawa, whatever.
I think
that's a weak one, too, to say, no, we're not moving it up.
What I think is that we've become a society that would rather question anybody's intentions and motives far more than we
try
like
something.
To encourage them and decide something. I think that's where that comes from. Everything's automatically going to be a no these days. There's always someone waiting to protest. There's always somebody that's waiting to be offended. So I think it's just the stage you're at in society as well. It's literally no idea is going to be a good idea because there always wants to be someone there to question it.
It's the age of fear. It's the age of fear.
Whatever it is, it sucks.
It sucks. But what doesn't suck is Darius Bladick, who you've been following since before the Riders even drafted him. I know you have. From Bethune-Cookman, the former school of Stevie Baggs. He's a product of Kissimmee, Florida, just outside Orlando.
Former school of Jared Allen. That's what...
That's you like Jared Allen. Hey, has anybody seen him since he rode off into the sunset?
Nope. But tell you what, he Bladuk I'm talking about. He's come out here. He brings a high energy, tries to get better. He's a very big guy, which obviously benefits everybody. He's a guy that wants to invest himself physically, and he's also a guy that's getting an opportunity on some of the other positional or formations. For instance, your tight end package, your double tight end package. Maybe he'll get more work on the first goal line group, right? So he's been a guy that they've been experimenting with, been throwing him in there. For instance, the first time they went with a double tight end set with Spencer Moore, you know, a few days ago, they threw him in as one of the first guys. So you can tell he's working. You can tell he's progressing and getting better. So the sky's the limit for a guy like that, but it's good to see a player out here who just enjoys playing football so much, because that's what comes across when you look at his body language and everything else.
And listening to this interview, folks, are you going to know and realize that he just wants so bad to play for the Saskatchewan Roughriders? Here is Riders number 66, Dariusz Bledek.
We're here with the Polish prince, Dariusz Bledek, Riders offensive lineman number 66. Hey, it seems like you're loving being a Saskatchewan Rough Rider. Am I right?
Yeah, it's a really great time right now. You know, there's just a lot of guys around here that know a lot of football. You know, we have a really good team. We have a really hard-edged team, and Chris Jones is really putting us in the right position to be the best players we could be.
You were the Riders' second pick in the draft this year, but you'd been on our radar before that because you were rated really high. When did you realize, because you were raised in the States, that the CFL was going to be a part of your life?
I think that was right after the Baltimore Ravens camp. I already was getting, you know, offers for the import, and then I realized, you know what, the CFL, after I got my dual citizenship, could really become a home for me, and sure enough, it's my new home, Saskatchewan.
And the Canadians always want to know, our fans, what is your status? So your mom was raised in Quebec.
Yes, my mom was born in Quebec. She was raised there, and then she was adopted, and that's how she came to the States.
Sweet.
Yeah, by a group of Italians.
So you've got the passport now. Did you have to go through all the paperwork to do that, to play up here? How did that work?
It was a long process. You know, in the beginning, when I got the import contracts, we said we were going to, it'll be quick, get the dual citizenship, and then we'll sign free agent. Dual citizenship took a lot longer, you know. It's just a process that you have to go through no matter who you have helping you in Parliament. So we went and finally, you know, it got done, but it was too late for free agent. And, you know, I had to get my passport, had to get, you know, my dual citizenship, and then I was allowed to come to the combine. So it worked out well in the end.
Everybody talks about the differences between the NFL and the CFL, but in line play, how much is your life different day to day from what you're used to?
Well, if we're going to talk about on the field, the difference is like your sets, the angles, the technique you're using. You know, in the States, there's a lot more angle drives and hit contact right off the ball, and you're throwing hands as soon as the ball snapped. Here, there's a lot of lateral, there's a lot of squaring up, there's, you know, patience in the run game, which is weird for the States. Normally, it's just boom. You know, I think that's the biggest difference when it comes to technique and day-to-day living. You know, it's football. You know, you got to wake up, you got to report, you got to eat good, you got to take care of your body, you got to come out and practice hard. It's normal, really, from the States and everything.
You sound like a smart guy, so you must be enjoying the learning end of it. Am I correct in that?
Yes. Not going to lie, I had one really frustrating day where I just – not only am I learning a new playbook, but I'm also learning new technique, a new type of game in the sense of the patience. So I had a really frustrating one day, and then I really took to the playbook. I said, I need to be in here 50 to 100 times percent more to really understand this playbook so that the technique, and I'm not worrying balancing the two. I understand what I'm doing. I can focus more on the technique and better in my craft.
I'm a big weather guy. And there's a few Florida guys on this team, rookies yourself, Stoshak, for instance. And
yes,
we feel like it's warm. He says it's nice and cool up here.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I'm serious. I have not said there's a hot day in Canada yet. I woke up and I was like, it's amazing. I'm wearing T-shirts and shorts. And, you know, I haven't had a hot day in Canada. I said, this is perfect weather. Perfect weather in Florida right now. I was running around training for camp in 90-something degrees with a hoodie on. I'm out here and it's 80-something. I'm like, it had a cold breeze, no humidity. I'm good.
It is really nice. And it looks like camp. It'll be windy, though, for the game at home on Saturday night. How much are you looking forward to that clash?
Oh, I can't wait. You know, it's going to be the first time playing against another team in a long time for myself. So I'm just really ready to hurt. some people. and honestly, I don't want to injure no one, but to really go out there and show my aggressiveness. Because out here, you want to finish plays, but you don't want to hurt your own guys. You don't want to injure them. You just want to play tough. But when you're on the field against another team, now I could add that extra play through the whistle. Now, you know, I have a guy, I could mosh him to the bottom of the pile and, you know, play the way I love to play the game. So I'm really excited. I got a little bit of taste of that in the mock game. You know, it was good just getting that feel again. But against another team, it's going to be a lot better. You know, you're going to be able to go balls out.
Have you seen any film on them yet on the blue?
No, we're going to start tonight. We're going to start that tonight. I was going to actually start ahead, but we had an install. We had one more install to do for plays, so we had to get that throughout the way. And today we're going to start watching the film on them and breaking them down. And that's actually one of my most favorite parts of the game, where I could really take a player, break him down, and know what he's going to do, when he's going to do it, and how he's going to attack me so that I could adjust my game. And I think that's where you'll see a big advantage for me in the game.
You sound like MMA fighters. I do a lot of those shows too. Darius, thank you. I think I'm just going to call you DB.
Yeah, DB's fine. DB's straight.
All right, good luck.
Thank you so much.
Darius Bladick, Riders number 66. Look, we got to take a break, but Luke's mind swimming with comments on with what Darius just said. We're brought to you by Saskatchewan Lotteries, the fundraiser for more than 12,000 sport, culture, and recreation groups. Hour 3 just warming up. Stay with us. We'll be right back on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. Got a contest to play before we dive back into the football talk. The Father's Day is Sunday, June 18th. 620 CKRM, the Rider Store, and Reliance McKenzie Plumbing and Heating can make Father's Day an extra special one for your dad with the 620 CKRM Father's Day New Mosaic Stadium Backstage Tour with Rod Peterson. Prize package includes a tour of New Mosaic, lunch with me for you and your dad, and a $200 gift certificate for your dad to the Rider Store at New Mosaic Stadium. Plus, Dad gets a limited edition 4x4 stainless steel table with etched Rider logo from the CKRM Green and White Lounge in historic Mosaic Stadium. Give us a call now. We'll take caller 3 in town, Riles. 936-62, 936-62. 62. We're brought to you by Saskatchewan Lotteries. Loved that interview with Darius Bladick. And you said, sorry to tell you, Darius, but you're not going to be able to watch film on your opponent across the line Saturday night.
It's good to hear a guy that wants to invest himself in film, but there's going to be a lot of guys thrown at him. I doubt he's going to have time to zone in on just one player. I think that when you're in the exhibition season, you get a sense of what the team's going to do in terms of attacking you, but you never know who really you're going to face, especially up to this point. I doubt they've even told these guys when they're playing or how long they're playing for. So, again, goes into controlling the things that you can control, preparing, just know your playbook, know the plays that are going to be called, know where to be, when to be there, and when there's someone in front of you as an offensive lineman, knock him backwards.
Here's one from Adam and Theodore regarding tonight's game not being televised, Stampeders Lions. He says, would it pay to ask Bell or TSN for a comment on why they wouldn't broadcast a game tonight? No, it wouldn't, because they will quote Ron Este. And you know what they'll say?
What?
Because that's what we decided.
Yeah, that's what we decided. We're good.
That's what we decided. We don't need to tell you anything. Anonymous texter writes in and says, if Mitchell Picton doesn't make the team,
he'll go back to the Rams.
He says,
I was about to say, he'll go
no,
back
I'm
to college.
Trying to decipher the no. He says, do we retain his rights or do we have to neglist him or how does that work? We retain his rights until he's in the grave.
Yeah.
Boom. End of story. We had the Riders have his rights until for the rest of time.
Yeah.
Mitchell, I don't like that. But
Mitchell Picton's probably in the best position out of anybody on this field during training camp. He's a guy that's getting a legitimate chance to compete. He's getting legitimate reps. He's getting a chance to work within the third group and all the way to the first group. And he's also a guy that if they choose to go in a different direction because of the depth at that position, he can go back to college, continue to get better, go compete for a Vanier Cup championship and come back in 2018's training camp and ball out.
Gunderson's Yorkton writing into my website saying, Rod, you should Facebook Live the entire game Saturday. Screw TSN. If they can't get their act together as the, quote, exclusive broadcaster and televise all preseason games, then they deserve to get scooped. You should be the Rod that's doing the play-by-play anyways. That's from Gunderson's. Yeah, no, I don't think I'm going to do that, but thanks for the suggestion. Jason in Balgoni writes in, he says, Luke, I wish you were still doing your interviews this week after training camp each day on the Rider website. It was good to watch you, and you did a great job talking to the players and coaches. From Jason in Balgoni.
Actually, Jason and everybody who did like that stuff on Riderville.com, we're not done. We actually have some really cool content coming up. The problem was today the schedule got changed on us a little bit, and the position group and the guy that we were going to talk to and get to do some of these cool things that we have planned had to go work out. So, again, it's not about us. It's all about the team and what they need to do to compete for a Grey Cup championship. But we will be filming and dropping something. It won't be live, but it will be dropped tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to it. And we haven't forgot about you, folks.
Text message from Cooks Creek Connie in Manitoba from the 204. She says, I can't understand why these games are not televised. Next contract, bring back the CBC for a game a week at least. Sportsnet has no interest. They don't even acknowledge the league. Yeah, she's right. That's because they don't have any games.
Yeah, exactly. The problem with Sportsnet is if they acknowledge the league, that'd be one thing. But nobody likes when networks have to use pictures to give you the scoop. Like
of the other networks.
Yeah. When you don't have live footage and recorded footage of plays actually happening, when you're just running pictures of certain guys in certain positions, it's no fun.
Anonymous texter says, is it not on the CFL for signing a lame contract with TSN that allows them not to show preseason? If you sat down with Mark Cohan, and gosh, I would love to do that because I like him so much, and just say, Mark, if you could do it all over again, would you sign the same deal? He would say, yep, $42 million per year, now 50.
Yeah, exactly.
Which hasn't been announced. They would do it all over again.
Well, that's the thing.
It's all about the money.
When you're the organization that needs the money, there's not a lot of dictating that you're able to do when it comes to the terms, unfortunately.
That's it, huh? That's it for the show.
Really?
Yes, but folks, if you just can't get enough football talk, and I don't mind saying this because Access is one of the top two sponsors of this show, and I think CKRM overall, Access Communications. Coming up at 7 o'clock, Darren DuPont and I will be coming at you from Griffith Stadium here in Saskatoon with our season premiere episode of In the Huddle, presented by Capital Auto Mall. Capital and Access are the two biggest advertisers on CKRM, by the way. They've teamed up to bring you In the Huddle this year. Darren DuPont and I, you will have mock game highlights from Saturday at SMF Field. You will hear from Vince Young, Brian Bennett, Kevin Glenn, Cameron Marshall, of course, Chris Jones, and analysis from Darren and I, plus the voice of the Blades, the Dean of Saskatoon Broadcasters, Les Lazarick. Again, that's tonight at 7 in all Access communities across the province, and on Shaw tomorrow night at 7 in Moose Jaw, Swift Current, Saskatoon, and PA. We've been brought to you by Saskatchewan Lotteries on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app.